Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at the book Saints, the Standard of Truth, published by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in 2018. It is a replacement volume for the documentary history of the church, a 7-volume set. This is volume 1 that we're looking at. There are going to be 4 volumes total. And today, we are continuing our look at what came to be known as the Salt Sermon, a speech given by Sidney Rigdon in response to a lot of the complaints that were being raised by members in the church against not only the leadership of the church, but Joseph Smith in particular. And as I mentioned yesterday, Sidney Rigdon had finally gotten fed up with a lot of these criticisms, and now he's going to come out with a message threatening those critics of the church. And in yesterday's show, I mentioned how we were going to be looking at a book titled Sidney Rigdon, A Portrait of Religious Excess, written by a Mormon by the name of Richard Van Wagner. And the reason why we felt it important to go into this book is because Mr. Van Wagner gives us a lot more details regarding this Salt Sermon than it does in the book Saints. Now, we admit this new volume is a lot more honest and open than a lot of their historical works of the past, but still there is much that could be said. And I don't want to sound like we're criticizing them because they didn't put everything in it that we think they should put in there, but I think it helps you, our listeners, to know a little bit of this background so it makes a bit more sense than what you might get from just reading the book Saints. But on page 218 of Sidney Rigdon, A Portrait of Religious Excess, Richard Van Wagner says this.
Although a complete text of Rigdon's speech is not extant, several listeners recorded portions of this pivotal call to arms at the time it was given. Reed Peck recalled Rigdon in his introduction declaring that, quote-unquote, some certain characters in Far West had been crying, quote, "You have broken the law, you have acted contrary to the principles of republicanism," end quote. Resorting to his trademark exclusivist ideology, Rigdon reasoned that, quote, "When a county or body of people have individuals among them with whom they do not wish to associate, and a public expression is taken against their remaining among them, and such individuals do not remove, it is the principle of republicanism itself that gives that community a right to expel them forcibly, and no law will prevent it," end quote.
Now, what's interesting about this, Eric, is yesterday I was talking about projection. When someone accuses someone else of doing the very things that they themselves are doing, doesn't it seem a bit ironic that they are running into conflict with locals in Missouri at this time who really want to get the Mormons out of their hair and out of their sight? The Mormons are upset about people wanting to expel them from a certain area, but yet here we have Sidney Rigdon advocating the very same thing when it comes to dissenters within the LDS church at this time. I just find the irony to be fascinating to me that they don't seem to have a problem in what they are wanting to accomplish, but they don't like it when others are trying to force their will on them.
He goes on and writes, "Rigdon focused his intense hatred for dissenters by adapting Matthew 5:13 in defense of his political purposes. Quote, "Ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men," end quote. Observers noted that the eloquent preacher then whipped the crowd to a frenzy by proclaiming that it was, quote, "the duty of this people to trample the dissenters into the earth, and if the county cannot be freed from them any other way, I will assist to trample them down or to erect a gallows on the square of Far West and hang them up as they did the gamblers at Vicksburg, and it would be an act at which the angels would smile with approbation," end quote.
Boy, I sure wish we had the entire manuscript of this sermon. It's too bad that we have to rely on these secondhand accounts, but it shows just how serious the LDS leadership was willing to go when it comes to threatening these people that are criticizing the leadership. Now, let's be honest here, though, folks. We know that the Mormon Church does not behave itself like this any longer. But yet, how many Latter-day Saints have we talked to, Eric, who have decided to leave the church and have found themselves the victim of character assassination by those that they have left behind? Now, the church does not discuss why people are excommunicated. They normally don't make it a habit to discuss what goes on in these secret excommunication trials. I guess I could use that word. That's the way it was understood. It was once called a bishop's court. But they don't talk about that publicly, so you're kind of left to your own imagination unless the individual themselves tell you why they left and why they were excommunicated. But certainly we find here Rigdon wanting to get rid of the critics. Now you might think, well, this is just Sidney Rigdon. Sidney Rigdon is a hothead. Sidney Rigdon says things from the top of his head that we find out later that a lot of people close to him probably wish he never said. But what does it say in the next paragraph?
The prophet delivered a short speech sanctioning Rigdon's address. Though, said he, I don't want the brethren to act unlawfully, but I will tell them one thing. Judas was a traitor, and instead of hanging himself, was hung by Peter.
Okay, let me stop you there, Eric. Let's say you're listening to the SALT sermon by Sidney Rigdon. Joseph Smith now gets up, and as Van Wagner says, the prophet delivered a short speech sanctioning Rigdon's address. In other words, he is approving of what Rigdon said, though with a qualification. I don't want the brethren to act unlawfully. But then he goes on to say, but I will tell them one thing. Judas was a traitor, and instead of hanging himself, was hung by Peter.
Bill, I don't know of any New Testament manuscript that would say anything close to this. So this is something that he has come up with because of his prophetic insight. And I'm going to say that he has no support from any documents we have.
Now, you're talking about Joseph Smith and the comment that's
yes.
Recorded here. Okay, here's what I find interesting. Let me ask you, Eric, if you were hearing what Joseph Smith said, how would you interpret that?
I would think that it would be lawful then to kill somebody who was a traitor to your cause.
But at the same time, he's saying, don't act unlawfully. See the confusion here?
Yeah.
Smith says, don't act unlawfully, but did you know that Judas was a traitor and instead of hanging himself was hung by Peter? Well, okay, how am I supposed to take that? Hanging people, or as the word was back then, as it is today, lynching someone was certainly illegal. Why would he say that? I don't understand why he says it at all, because as you mentioned, there's no historical evidence, and there's no textual evidence for our New Testament that gives any indication that Judas was hanged by Peter. In fact, we need only go to the Joseph Smith translation that Smith claimed he finished in 1833, where in Matthew chapter 27, it's found in verse 6, it says, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. Of course, this is speaking of Judas. And went and hanged himself on a tree. And straightway he fell down and his bowels gushed out and he died. Now, here in this account, Joseph Smith is recorded as saying that Judas didn't hang himself. But that deed was done by Peter himself. But in Joseph Smith's translation of the New Testament here in Matthew chapter 27, it says very clearly that Judas hanged himself. And not only that, what does he do?
He conflates the two passages that are referring to this death of Judas. Matthew 27:5 in the regular version of the Bible is going to have that he hanged himself. And then in Acts chapter 1 verse 18, it said that his bowels gushed out. So what he does is he touches the passage and he puts the two together, and showing that he must have thought, as I think is a good conclusion, that Judas did die by hanging, as well as the falling down, it finished the job there.
Yeah, what Joseph Smith seems to have done is, by conflating these two accounts, the one here in Matthew and the other in the book of Acts, he answers the question the way I would say most Christian apologists would answer the question.
Yeah.
A Mormon might say, well, those are two contradictions. No, really, they're not. The two go together. And I think what Joseph Smith has done here is, okay, Judas hangs himself. Then after a period of time of this body hanging out there, decaying, for how long, nobody knows. But eventually, something happened. Either the rope breaks or the knot comes untied. The body falls and his body bursts open.
But what did he not add in? Joseph Smith does not add in that Peter has anything to do with the death of Judas. He hanged himself, is how he puts it.
Exactly. So what we have here, if anything else, is a contradiction between Joseph Smith's inspired version of the Bible, known as the Joseph Smith translation in Matthew chapter 27, and the comment that's being attributed to Joseph Smith here by Richard Van Wagner on page 218 of his book, Portrait of Religious Excess. Again, though, I think the question needs to be asked, how would someone hearing Joseph Smith say this understand Joseph Smith? What do you think he's implying? It seems pretty clear to me personally that even though he's saying, I don't want you to act unlawfully, at the same time, it seems like you can righteously act unlawfully by taking the law into your own hands. And now you are going to punish these dissenters in a way that has been described as, well, I would say something to be taken very seriously.
Rigdon and Smith are both leaders in this church, and while they may not have actually committed any of the murders that are going to take place in the next few months and some of the unrest that takes place between the people in Missouri versus the Latter-day Saints, they're still, I think, responsible, because as leaders, they have an opportunity to squash any kind of rebellion, any kind of hatred toward the enemies or people who are leaving their movement. And yet here we have Rigdon giving a very fiery sermon, the salt sermon, and you have Joseph Smith approving of it and saying something that is, at best, is just confusing.
Tomorrow we're going to continue looking at this salt sermon, because there's a lot of things involved in this to get a good grasp of the climate of what was going on in June of 1838.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.